Hey, Mother Knows Best listeners, you can find us every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if gaudy pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to 'Cause I Said So, your favorite mother-daughter duo, except my mom will be here for the episode, but she's not here for the intro because she is, drumroll please, getting her hair done. Don't you wish it was something more exciting, like making a video or, you know, solving world hunger? But no, she's getting those roots dyed. So it's just me for right now, but my mom will be back and we're going to interview Kate, who works here at Barstool. She is a former Marine. She's the host of Zero Blog 30. She's a comedian. She's absolutely hilarious. She's our coworker and she's one of the only other moms in the office. So Kate, she provides a lot of value too. She gives new mom tips. Her son Cash is 14 months old. So we have a great conversation with Kate coming up, and that's about it. So we'll get right into the episode. Here we go. Kate, welcome to the show. Hello, Kate.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thanks for coming on.
It's about time we have the first, you're the first mother of Barstool Sports.
I'll take that title.
Yeah,
The coolest is sitting next to me. The first is right here. Yeah.
You're the coolest and funniest in our
you
eyes.
You are. Yes. Stop it, but go on.
Stop it, keep going.
Yeah.
So before we get into you and your life, we always start off with a boomer move,
mm-hmm.
where Kim tells us, confesses her boomer moves of the week,
yes.
if she can remember them. And sometimes she can't, so we write them down. And I think you, not that you're a boomer, but you might have a mom move
mm-hmm.
or a boomer move.
I'm pretty much living like one these days. Mine is, I bought them as a joke a few years ago, but these CVS Cocoons brand sunglasses, you know the kind that you see the old people wear that has like full coverage on the side? There's like tiny sunglasses on the sides and the tops and whatever. I bought them as a joke, but now in the mornings, my son wakes up so early, and I don't know if I have sensitive eyes or what, but I'm out there on the patio with them wearing my Cocoons brand sunglasses with the full coverage. And I look like an absolute, like, Pat's like, you're not wearing those out, are you? And now I'm at the park wearing them. I'm like, I don't care anymore. I've hit this age where, like, whatever. But yeah, they're ridiculous looking.
Okay, you have to send us a photo.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
we can insert it on YouTube.
I certainly will.
Okay, thank you.
That's really
so
cute.
So you're putting, this is the classic practical, like, is that what that is? You just find them practical and they actually protect your
eyes?
They
actually protect my eyes, and it's to the point now where I've like, I think like about a year and a half ago, if I had to pinpoint it, I stopped caring what was cool and more like what's comfortable for me.
And what works.
And these Cocoons are fantastic. I can't, no free ads. I can't recommend them enough. There's like 2 a.m. It's like the ads for them on TV where like somebody's like, I can't drive.
I'm yeah.
like, try these Cocoons. Yeah.
And you're like, I'll try them.
I'm going to try them now.
So
I'll
send
you a
pair.
You have blue eyes. You have sensitive eyes.
That's right.
It is.
That's what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. You should send, you guys could both get a pair.
Bright studio lights. I wish I had them on right now.
Yeah. your eyes hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. What's yours?
Mine is, I can't seem to stay in the same thread on email. I don't know why. It's like when the poor girl upstairs at Barstool was like, okay, I think we've got multiple threads going, so can you just respond here? And I'm like, oh my God, I think it's on my phone, then on my computer. And when you're on your phone, it's really hard to find which
oh, yes.
was the last email. So,
she starts
in my
new
defense.
Emails.
Yeah.
Well, I saw
yes.
didn't yesterday you were trying to type an email and you couldn't, and it turns out you had
yeah.
You were trying a sent email.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, typing on the email.
It happens to the best of us.
It does.
And you told me, no, I doubt that's ever happened to Kate. Has that, that's not, that doesn't.
Totally.
Not yet. Not yet. It has not totally. Yet happened to Kate.
I'm like, yeah. no one has been typing yeah. on. She had the email up and she was like, my computer won't let me type. And I said, turn it around. I was like, it's an email and you sent it. Like, you can't, you can't type on it. But Pilar, who does the merch, she was like, we have so many email chains going on. What are you talking about? Like,
no, she's like, answer here with the address.
Please just respond here. I'm so confused. And then you said that you're excited to get your brain scanned. Because she thinks she has lasting COVID effects, and that's that's the problem.
I do. Ever since COVID, I have really had a hard... I'm really tech savvy, or I thought I was.
Yeah.
I always taught her how to do stuff, because she could never do it. And ever since then, it's been like, everything is just all over the place. Mm-hmm. I can't, like, focus on it or something.
Oh, I believe it. I've heard so much about it. I had it really bad, and I think I still have some things that are, like, lasting from it that I'm like... I still, like, trouble breathing, stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Like, that I can't. But a brain scan, that's interesting.
Yeah, it'll be kind of fun.
Are they going to show anything else? Like,
oh, shit, what's wrong with her?
Some of the wires aren't, like, touching.
I don't know. I've never had a brain scan. I think it'll be kind of fun.
That's so interesting. Yeah. What if they find you're just super advanced? She's so advanced. Her synapses are just... What if they just
find this big blob that's like, I don't know how you functioned all these years? It could be either way. I think it's that I'm so smart, I just, it's hard for me to drill down on silly things like email.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, she's so smart, she thinks email's stupid. It's good. Ask Kate if she knows about the throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, do you know that saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater?
I think I do. Way back in the day, when they didn't have plumbing, you would use buckets or whatever to fill up the tub, and then the whole family, they would have like a family of like 10 kids, would use that same bathwater, and so it was the, like, oldest to youngest, and the baby was the last one to get bathed, and the water was so dirty by that point that they'd be like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Is that right?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
But what does it mean, like, in when you're in the world today, someone says,
she's like, this is exactly what it means.
I'm impressed.
I took a tour in Old City, Philadelphia in like fifth grade, and they told us that, and that's what I just regurgitated to you.
That's so funny.
So
like, what does it mean today? Like, if someone goes, oh, well, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Just because everything's a mess, don't throw out your whole project, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's good. That's good, yeah.
Well said.
What did you think it meant?
I couldn't even... I didn't know what it meant, and then when you told me what it literally meant, I had no idea what it could figuratively mean at all.
Yeah. They've been saying it a lot on CNBC for some reason, talking about different companies changing how they're doing things and their stocks going up and down. And they're like, I think they threw the baby out with the bathwater. They've said it like for the past week, 5 times. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I haven't heard that phrase since that fifth grade field trip, I think. I haven't heard it in quite some time.
Do you know what road hard and put up wet means?
No, but... In my 20s, I feel like I knew. Rode hard and put up a horse. You're riding a horse.
Yes.
And so that's then the horse is sweaty.
Yeah.
And you don't
cool it down or you know.
Right. You just put it back in the
stall. In the stall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sounds sexual.
Well, no, we learned from Pat and Joey, but actually has a whole nother meaning that is sexual.
And put up wet. Yeah. That's what I was. Okay. You referenced a wild 20s.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, we want to know about that, and then being a Marine, if they are related.
Yeah.
We want your backstory.
Okay, so...
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all 4 refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Played all kinds of sports in high school. Went to college to play field hockey, D2 field hockey, not to brag. I went to college to play D2 field hockey. So I was doing that, but then I became friends with all these rugby player girls who were like, oh, that's lame. Like, we couldn't go out and drink like 48 hours before a game. We couldn't whatever. And they're like, you're missing out on all the fun. Come play rugby. It was a club team with these just wild women who were just so much fun. And I was like, you know what? Sorry, everyone. I quit the team and I joined the rugby team instead. And it was just so much fun. But I got way too much into the partying then.
Oh, no.
And eventually, like, rugby parties and everything became my whole everything. And I moved into the rugby house my senior year, which was like straight out of Animal House. Like, the home, I think like a year or two after I left, they ended up getting evicted because the quality of the home was so disgusting.
Oh, no.
Like, we didn't have heat and we would just burn trash in the trash can, like, in the living room. Like, our toilets didn't work. Like, the guys would come in the middle of the night and upper deck our toilets or, like, piss in our washing machine. Or, like, they would, like, cover our floor in canola oil. And we would just, like, live around all these things. Like, it was the most disgusting. All we wanted to do was party. And I was basically a piece of human garbage rolling through life. And I started to, like, you know, after a while when the party starts to get old a little bit, the party started getting old. I was in my senior year with one semester left. I had a 1.8 GPA. Oh. And I have, like, the most wonderful parents and family and everything. And I was, like, lying to everybody. Like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. But I was getting into, like, stupid level of partying that was, like, a little much. And I started to, like, hate myself. Like, I was the only one on a Monday being like, who's coming out tonight? And everybody's like, you might have a problem, friend. You know, it's like, I'm like, oh, really? So I started to really think, like, I guess I could scrape by and, like, try and graduate, move back home to, like, some low level, like, if I'm lucky, like, cubicle job or something, I don't know. Or I could just, like, flip a coin and do something crazy that I never would have thought of before. And the Marine Corps kind of popped into my, I was like, what if I joined the military? Like, the war was going pretty strong at that point. Business was great. I said, there's a good industry to get into. But I started kind of looking at the military, and I went home on Christmas break before my final semester senior year. I went to a recruiter and I was like, one ticket to Marine Corps, please. Like, can sign me up. That's it. And that was it. I didn't go back to college. I went to boot camp instead. And yeah.
So wait, that's how big of an asshole I was. How did you pick Marine out of Army, Marine, or?
I knew I needed a kick in the ass. And from what I knew from, like, our, like, that commercial, you know, where they're slaying the dragon. And what I knew, I needed the biggest kick in the ass possible and that I deserved it. And the Marine Corps was what I knew was, like, the hardest one. And yeah. So that's what I went with. It was kind of, yeah.
It's cool you gave it to yourself. Like, your parents didn't say you have to.
They were like, are you serious? They were, yeah, they were like, not.
Don't do it.
Yeah. That,
it's okay. We'll pay for another semester.
Yeah. So they were not, at first they were like, not the happiest. And then when I came home from, you have to do all sorts of stuff to be able to sign up, like physicals and blah, blah. And I remember coming home and my dad had lined the driveway with little American flags. And they were like, all right, if that's what you want to do, then we have your back. And
that's so sweet.
Deep inside, they're probably like, you are an asshole and this could help. So, all right, go ahead.
Yeah. We'll support you.
Yeah. We'll support you.
You have really, okay, we'll talk about your parents because it sounds like they're like the ultimate level of support.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But wait, how was boot camp? Like,
yeah.
And did you love doing the Marines?
It was, so I didn't know anything about the military. Like, this was kind of a shot in the dark. Like, how can I redeem myself? Military. Like, it was like.
So it was random. It was like very random.
I wish I could say that, like, I had this patriotic feeling to go, like, whatever. And, like, I did, but it was more definitely like, I need to fix myself. So I like didn't really get yelled at much growing up. Like, I wasn't around any sort of like whatever. So you get off the bus to boot camp and they just come swarming at you and they're screaming at you. And they're like, and I was just like, oh my God, I've made a mistake. Like, I cannot believe I've done this. And I'm like a happy go lucky, like, I don't know. It was just like so serious. But after a while, like, especially too for me, there's no partying, obviously. You're in bed by like 7 p.m. every night. You're up at 5 in the morning. You're doing physical activity. And I had like gotten from the partying and stuff so grossly out of shape. By the time I graduated, I was super fit. I was super healthy. I felt proud of myself for the first time that I could ever remember. And like when my parents came to watch me graduate and a couple of my family members, like I have never stood so tall in my life. I felt like I had really put in the work to like really, really make a change. And I've never been stupid partier like that ever since then. Well, I've been stupid partier, but not like to that level ever since then, you know? So it was like the best thing I could have ever done. Yeah.
And then then after you went through the boot camp, what did you do?
Yeah, then they send you off to a couple different schools. And my MOS school was military police. So I was like, oh, I'll just be a like military bases have cops just like a regular town does.
Okay.
So they're also Marines or whatever, but they go through a school so I went through police school. I learned how to drive the cop car.
Oh,
I learned how to direct traffic. I learned how to like, you know, do everything that a cop does. But there was a second part of that school called, and so my thinking was I'll be a cop on a base. And then when I get out, I'll be a cop in a town somewhere. And like, I love giving directions. I love rescuing kittens. I was like, this is for me.
It worked
out. Yeah. So easy. And there's a second part to that MOS, though, that's called Field MP, where you train the armies and police of other countries. And that was a big thing in Iraq and Afghanistan at the time, was training their police and their army, like basic patrol tactics, basic like whatever. But I didn't really, I thought, I was like, oh, I'll probably be a woman, whatever. I was the only woman in my MP class there was like 78 of us, and I was the only woman.
No way.
Besides, there was my roommate who got kicked out. Her last name was Stoner. And you won't believe it, for weed.
Wow.
Anyway, So I was thinking, oh, they'll probably have me stay stateside forever. But I got put in a field MP unit and a couple years later. And then so I got to deploy a couple times. I got to, like, do whatever. And it ended up being this awesome experience. So,
wow.
Yeah.
How long were you – how long did you do it, round trip?
Round – like, deployments?
Yes.
Or – so the first one was, I'd say, like – I want to say, like, 9 months.
Wow.
And the second one was about – I want to say about the same. So both the Army and stuff would do longer deployments, but we would do shorter ones. The first one was really cool, though. I was in the Marine Corps' first ever all-woman unit, basically. And the point was, because in Afghanistan, the culture is so strict with, like, if our men, like, even so much as looked at their women wearing, like, full burqa or whatever, it could cause, like, huge problems. And we were trying to do, like, hearts and minds at the time and, like, win the people over and blah, 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 so that we could build up so that Taliban couldn't come in and rule the land. Instead, the people would resist and build their own government kind of thing was the idea. Didn't work well, okay. but so they needed women attached to these infantry units in these small villages to connect with the women. So I got to go do that. So for it was just me and one other woman with this all-male infantry battalion in this village called Marja for those months. And we got to connect with the local women. And it was really, it was like, the most incredible experience.
Oh, I bet it was.
Yeah.
I bet that was I was going to say incredible bag, but you just said that.
Did you did you have a translator?
We had a translator. A lot of times there were so few women translators, though. A lot of times we would have a male translator on the other side of a wall from us, but it was a lot of charades. And I knew Pashto, like basic Pashto at the time, but you'd be amazed at like how far you can connect with somebody, just charades and a couple basic words and whatever. Wow. So it'd be really cool. All the male Marines would be up having like a shura meeting with the local males in the front of some compound. And me and my partner would be in the back with the women, like having tea. They'd put music on. They're putting makeup on me like a clown and like cracking up and like.
Are you kidding me?
So then I'd have to patrol back through a dangerous area looking like Mimi from the Drew Carey show. I'm like, oh my God. If this is how I go out, then oh my
then
God.
Then so be it.
Yeah. Then,
what a
yeah.
world. Wow.
It was just like somebody, I didn't really like travel too much growing up. And so that was just like the most incredible experience. So
I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So have you always been funny, like quick-witted and funny? Because the things you think of, I'm like, where did that come from? That's hysterical.
I come from a very funny family. They, like, Chaps always rips on me for, I, like, almost brag about it, like, I had anything to do with it. But my dad is one of 13 kids.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
then they each had, like, five kids. So I come from this huge family where, like, if you want to be heard in a room, you better be, like, kind of. And my dad was the middle child, so he was always like, hey, look at me. But, like, so hello. I grew up, and two, like, anytime there was, like, a wedding, a retirement ceremony, or whatever, everybody would come up with, like, funny poems and songs and, like, whatever, like, Weird Al type stuff, you know? Uh-huh. And so that kind of stuck with me. Like, in college, I would start for my college dorm room floor, like, an Onion-type newspaper. I'm like, here's who was too drunk last night. It was, like, a news bulletin that I started putting out.
You
and
did that?
That was funny.
Okay, that's funny.
And then in the Marine Corps, too, like, when you're one of the only women, and the Marine Corps is only, like, 7% women, I think, and can be a pretty misogynistic, difficult place to get your foot in the door with a group. And I found humor was like, thank God I had a sense of humor, was like the best way to do that. So I'm like, if I can make them laugh, I can win them over, and then things will be a lot smoother from here. So
that's great.
Yeah, kind of honed it in a way. Yeah. So that was really good.
People, yeah. I think people say that like the most disarming thing you can do if in that situation would be turn to humor.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's smart. And you're lucky though, because you're just naturally funny.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Okay.
So what's the story like from, I can't believe I'm about to ask this. Do I say the Marine Corps?
Yeah.
Is that what I say?
Yep. Okay. It's a silent S. It's like the P in pterodactyl. It's like
silent. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a P in pterodactyl. What's the road from,
did you say P in pterodactyl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you know, spell pterodactyl?
No.
Where's the P?
It's at the beginning.
Yeah, it's in the beginning.
PT?
Yeah. Or like pneumonia. The P in pneumonia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like the P in pneumonia. That's a better one.
I was like, if I had spelled pterodactyl, I'm starting with a T, but I guess it's a P. Mm-hmm. Who knew? How did you get from the Marine Corps to Barstool? What's the road like?
So I got married when I was in the Marine Corps, and we all do it, honey. It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Really?
When you're one of like one woman out of 100 guys, you can have the pick of the like you are. I was an absolute smoke show when I was in. Okay, all you had to do was spray on a little love spell before you walked in, and everybody's like, "Whoa, who is she?" And I could look like a rat. It didn't matter.
Oh my gosh!
Anyway,
that's great.
So I super fell in love with this guy, and before our first deployments. And we dated all throughout. Like, it was I think people get married so quick in the military because it's just so much more romantic. Like, we're going on deployment and, like, you're writing each other letters. Like, we wrote each other letters every single day. And we didn't have cell phone or internet where we were. So, like, every few weeks you get this big stack of letter and you're just like, oh, we're so in love, blah, blah, blah. So we get back from that deployment. We get married. We deploy again. And he was from New York City. So afterwards, we moved back to New York, and I finally going to finish school now. I started going to Fordham on my GI Bill, so free college, you crazy not to go. And they had this program at The Daily Show with Jon Stewart called the Veteran Immersion Program, and it was his, like, final season. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was for people interested in media, and I was doing communications at Fordham, veterans interested in media. And so I got accepted into that program. And so for a whole semester, like once a week, I got to go over to the Daily Show studios.
Oh.
And like the first day, you right for the crack of dawn, you're sitting in the writer's room and you watch their whole process from morning, because they would start writing the show that day and shoot it that night. Like everyone. So you got to watch the whole process. And sitting in the room with these comedians, like I had never thought comedy and that kind of stuff like could be a real career path. It was like, oh, this is something fun I'll always do on the side. But sitting there with them, I was like, oh my God, they're actually doing this. I want to do something like this more than anything in my life. So they were amazing. They sort of, a bunch of the comedians and the writers and blah, 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 they're like, well, we do stand up every night after we're done this show. We do improv teams. We do whatever. So I started doing comedy in New York City. I started doing stand up and I joined an improv. It was an all veterans improv team sketch comedy team. And like I started doing like everything that I could to get into the comedy world. And at the end of the Daily Show thing, there was a job fair with all these different TV companies. One of the spots I interviewed, it was right in the studio, was at Jon Stewart's desk. It was like, I think I interviewed with A&E sitting right there for a job that I did not get. The Meredith Vieira show I interviewed for, like all these different shows. But Comedy Central was the one I really wanted, and I got it. And I was just like the bottom of the totem pole at Comedy Central, like getting comedians to sign off on stuff and bringing coffee and whatever. But I sat next to the talent department who would take, they're like, do you want to come tonight? We're going to like scout out some comedians or whatever. And so it was just like, at lunch, you could like take the keys and go open and read any script from any Comedy Central show ever. You know, it was just like this great education in all things comedy. And it just further cemented like, oh my God, this is what I want to do. The problem is I sucked at my job so hard. I was supposed to be doing like executive assistant type work for the president of production at Comedy Central.
Oh my
gosh. This incredible woman named Megan Ring, who was just so impressive. I am so flighty. Like, you should see my emails, and like, I'd be like, excuse me, Megan, your big meeting started about 15 minutes ago. excuse me, Megan, I forgot to do your travel expense report for last month, so now I need you to sign off on this thing. Excuse me, Megan, like, I sucked at that job so hard. I worked there for almost 2 years. At the same time, my marriage was starting to fall apart. And it was, like, all-consuming to me because, like, I come from a big Irish Catholic family. Like, nobody gets divorced. Like, everybody, blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't fix it. I couldn't save it. And I became like so consumed with fixing it that I was like, well, maybe if I quit this job and I get a like an easier job and then I can focus more, because I was doing like stand up at night. So I would work all day and then I'd do the rounds in the city. And like, maybe it's because I'm doing all that this isn't working out, blah, 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 whatever. And so I kind of like it was like the most realist heartbreak. Like, it just, the whole marriage fell apart and I completely fell apart. I quit my job because I felt like I wasn't doing it justice. Like, I was sucking at my job so bad. I was like, I can't do this. I tried to get a job at a ramp company selling ramps to attach to people's homes.
Oh my gosh.
Like, just that was close to home, that was like easier hours, like whatever. And finally, everything like really fell apart. It turns out he had been seeing some other minors. Oh. And I was like, yeah. And I was just so heartbroken and shocked that I was we had been together for like 7 years.
Oh, wow.
At that point. And so I just packed up my car one night and I drove back down to my parents, who they hadn't told me they were in the process of putting their house up for sale.
Oh,
so
no.
They were like, by the way, so I ended up in my Aunt Peggy's basement in Delco.
Oh, my gosh.
And with like no job, no food, our pets' heads were falling off. But yeah, so in like the blink of an eye, my whole world flipped upside down. I was like, what the hell am I going to do? If I'm rambling too much.
No, I'm so interesting.
So I didn't know what to do. My uncle got me, first I was a UPS driver helper at Christmas, making like 12 bucks an hour, like helping the delivery guys, you know, like run packages. Then my uncle helped get me a job at where the 76ers play and the Flyers play, doing concessions. Okay. And at the Philly Convention Center, so like working the flower show and the car show and like whatever, selling hot dogs and stuff and just keeping myself busy. Then I decided that I was going to become a dental hygienist. I just looked up like jobs that are good money. And I was like, I'll go back to school with the rest of my GI Bill. I'll become a dental hygienist. So I was going to community college and like working concessions. And I had just like completely given up on everything.
Uh-huh.
So I had a couple of friends who were like, come on, like nothing was funny to me anymore. And they're like, come on, start doing like some stand up again. There's some open mics or whatever. Come on out. And I started kind of writing, like, I would sit there with a notepad that was like, what is funny about my divorce? and then it was like, everything's terrible. But slowly but surely, I started finding things that were very funny about it. And I started to be able to go up and talk about it. And things started flipping around. And that's when I started, like, getting more active on my Twitter and, like, started getting a veteran community following of just, like, funny military stuff. And one day I was at lunch and I got this calzone. I was on break from college. And I got a calzone that looked like a vagina. A small calzone had a little hole and one pepperoni on top. So this is absurd. So I tweeted it, and Chaps here at Barstool had been doing this longtime column of foods and nature things that looked like buttholes and genitals and things. So because of the veteran like following I had amassed on Twitter, a bunch of veterans who also followed Chaps because he's a Marine started tagging him like, yo, Chaps, here's one for the blog. Here's a calzone for the blog. So he DMs me. He's like, hey, do you mind if I use your calzone, m'lady, for this blog? And I'm like, of course, of course. And he's like, I couldn't help but notice your thing says Marine Corps. I do a podcast called Zero Block 30. Do you want to come on the show? So I think I was like episode 56 or something, talking about the female engagement team. And after the show, like, we talked for a little bit, and he could tell I was kind of down and out on things. And he's like, well, do you want to do social media for us? We need a social media person. And he paid me out of his own pocket for like a year. Yeah, and then finally convinced Dave to interview me, and I knew of Barstool, like I knew my guy friends followed it, but I didn't really follow it.
Mm-hmm.
I came up here for the interview I went to Kohl's and bought like a business casual suit with like I came rolling in like Payless Flats and like a Kohl's business for her suit, and I walked into the old office and I was like, oh my god, I've made a terrible mistake. But long story short, Dave was like, I don't know much about you. I didn't have like really any entertainment creds or anything. He's like, but if Chap says you're good, like, you're in. And then I had a full-time job at Barstool. And next thing you know, they got SiriusXM came. Chaps was like, you'd have to move to New York City in, like, 2 weeks, but do you want to do radio and, like, move to New York? And I was like, done. I, like, packed up my stuff and been here ever since.
Well, yay. Like, okay, when was that?
Sorry, that was such a long story.
That was incredible. That was
an incredible story.
I'm really happy to hear that.
What year was that?
Mama needed health insurance. Let's tell you what. Things were getting dicey for the old gal. No, that was in, like, oh, God, what was 4 years ago? 2018?
Okay.
I think it was, like, 2018.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy how stuff works.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that is a story.
Yeah.
A calzone.
It was a calzone
on Twitter.
That's pretty much it. Like, I tell people, like, it was super lucky, but especially like a lot of veterans getting out are like, oh, what can I do to, and I say, like, if I hadn't been doing all the comedy and all the stuff that I loved on the side, even throughout everything, like, I wouldn't have been set up to be successful here, mm-hmm. kind of. So, like, even if you're not doing what you love, find your hobbies and find the stuff you love and, like, put your heart and soul into it on the side. And who knows, like, slowly, I feel like a lot of people who do that get to morph into the thing they love full time, kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
no, that's great advice.
Yeah, it was just really.
That is good advice.
Really,
that's
lucky.
True.
Yeah.
So you always have your humor. And, like, I feel like that's always been a pillar of Kate.
Yeah.
And now you have cash.
Yes.
And the humor is applied to being a mother.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Do you love being a mom?
I love it. I see, and I get, it's funny because there's so much duality to it. And I think, like, when we talk about the bad stuff, people are so quick to be like, oh, stop it. At least you have a beautiful kid, blah, blah. It's like, no, we're allowed to have both sides to it.
Yeah.
It can be, like, incredibly painful and the most amazing thing at the same time. It's awesome. I ripped my taint, okay? And so I can talk about that. That's hard. But also, he's, like, just, I love it. Every day, like, I didn't know much about kids, really. Like, I'm from a big family, but, like, I was off in the Marines and college and blah, blah, blah. And, like, you're kind of, you know, that age where you're kind of in a bubble where you're not in your kids very often, sort of. So I was in that bubble for a long time. And so every day it's like, look at this thing he's doing. Did you know they do that? I should probably Google that. I didn't know. Like, oh my God, I guess we're supposed to switch him to food now. I didn't know. Oh my God. But like, there's like stupid things. But like every day I'm like learning something new and watching him do something new. And I'm just like, it's, I sound so dorky, but I'm blown away every single day by him. Like, I don't know. Aww. Like, picking him up from daycare, I always say, feels like Christmas morning. Like, it's the, I like run up the hill. I'm like, all right. Like, I can't. Yeah, it's just, I love it. Yeah.
That's so how sweet. Old is he now?
He's 14 months. Okay. About to be. Yeah. Aww. So.
Wow. That's, I saw he was into opening doors.
He's super into the sliding door right yeah. now. Just all day long, opening and shutting it and walking in and out of it and whatever.
That's big.
Yeah.
So, so cute.
Did your mom, okay, so are, is your way of mothering like your mom taught you a lot, or you're like Googling as you go, like you said? Is that for real?
Big time Googling. My mom, though, has been a huge help. Like, when I first had him, she came up for a few weeks and was like, here's, you know, here's how you hold a baby, Kate, now that you're a mom. Like, you know, here's what you do.
Aww.
And just telling me that, like, you know, when they're crying, like, it's okay. They're going to do that sometimes. And, like, you know, just whatever. But no, she's been super awesome, but it's been so much Googling. So, and there's like 20 different apps now that track every which thing. And
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's, did you know there's phases they go through? They're entering like a, this one app is like, watch out, they're entering a red week, they're going to be extra cranky this week. And it's like, how do you know?
But is it true?
It's true, yeah.
I think so, but kind
I
mean, of.
All I had was like, I had the books I read, it was be equilibrium and disequilibrium was what yeah. they would call it. So yeah, you guys both fell on it. And luckily, one was yeah. always here while the other one was here. Yeah. I didn't have both of you at the same time doing yeah. this, which worked out
in
perfect.
In the anger phase, or like the cranky phase, is that what
cranky
you mean?
Cranky or, you know, mouthy or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, they go through the leaps. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go through like brain leaps when you're growing. And so oh. all of a sudden you have this new skill or new thing and it kind of throws you off. So you're real. So you're swiping the coffee table off with all your puffs, like a surly man at the bar, and you're like, "Oh my god, I'm sorry."
Jeez. Oh, the puffs.
But yeah, so many puffs.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What's it like working and being a mom? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, at first, though, I'm so like Barstool is the place to be for like nobody made me come back when maternity leave was done. Nobody like was like, hey, we haven't seen you in a while, because I got my maternity leave ended. I was like, I'm just going to quietly work from home with him for a while, because I didn't want to send him to daycare yet. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll work from home with the baby. I quickly learned.
And there's no working at home with the baby.
It is impossible. It is like completely impossible to do. So after like a month, I was like, all right, I'll start dipping my toe. But even then, I just started sending him like a few days a week and would work from home. And nobody here ever said anything. Like, I was breastfeeding and I was still pumping and all that stuff. And they set up, like, I had my own room with a key with the fridge and like great ambiance, a mirror. Enrique decorated it. It's a delight. So,
you should just use that.
I should just. And so, whenever he's been sick, because they get daycare illnesses, like whatever, like, and I know I'm lucky, because a lot of the messages, I get so many messages from moms now who are like, you're so lucky, blah, blah, blah. It's like, my place does, I have to pump in the bathroom. I have to, like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's a lawsuit, honey. I think. Look into it. But yeah, yeah. It's like not great. But this has been the best place to be. But yeah, sending him to daycare, I think he was like, I want to say he was almost 6 months. I got to be home with him. But oh,
aww.
At first you're like, oh my God. But even now the daycare has an app. Like minute by minute, they tell you exactly what he's doing.
Oh, you're kidding.
He just peed. Now he's singing a song about a dog.
What?
Now he's like, oh, it's crazy.
Wow.
I know this isn't great for podcasting, but you shouldn't have asked. It's my Rolodex. They tell you all day, they send you pictures.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
He's wearing his little Barstool shirt today. He's wearing his little
They just update it, so somebody just sits there and updates it, like it's like a text message
all day long. You can see exactly what his arts and crafts or wow. sleeping or diaper or whatever, and so it makes me feel better to be
and
like,
connected, because
okay.
you really know what they're doing during the day instead of what they do today. Oh, they did this and that. That's
oh yeah,
so cool.
And they tell you, so it makes me feel so much better. So like, it's definitely
wow,
that's
yeah.
nice.
I know.
Okay.
I'm very lucky, but I found a good spot. And yeah,
yeah,
so it hasn't been too hard.
I think all that would make it so much easier.
Yes.
You feel like you know exactly what's going on.
Oh, I like check it more often than my Twitter. I'm like, they haven't sent a picture in 10 minutes. What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever.
Doing.
But
I knew they had that for dogs, but I did not know they had that for kids.
They do. It's potato, yeah. potato. They have it for everybody. But yeah. I almost like, people like, oh, is it super hard? It definitely was hard when he first had to get used to it. But now he like kicks his feet. He's so excited as we're getting close to go up the hill. Yeah. He reaches out to the daycare ladies. Like, we're lucky with our spot.
Yeah.
But also like when I'm busy working, like I it's nice. Like it's nice to get away and yeah. have my cup of coffee and be able to work and like whatever. So I actually really enjoy working.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would
especially
be.
Especially here.
Right, like, I was going to say, so, if you're going to work somewhere, yeah. here's
And
nice.
You mentioned early, yeah. Your boyfriend works from home
yes.
at night when you're there. So how do you guys find time for each other? Is that really hard when you have?
Oh, man, it's so hard, yeah. especially because I'm not ready for, like, babysitters and stuff yet. Like, I don't know anybody up here, really, and so I'm not whatever. So it's a lot of times he goes to bed and I'm like, let's flip on the patio lights and get some Whistle Pig out there. So I'm like, whatever. No free ads. CBT, promo code CBT.
Second free ad.
I'm yeah. Sure. Yeah. The second one. Put your cocoons on. Settle in out there. But yeah, no, it's just mostly like at home dates yeah. right now. Mm-hmm. It definitely is hard to get out. My parents will come up or we'll go down there and like get to go out for a little bit. But it is hard.
Yeah.
It is
yeah.
really hard.
If you need a babysitter.
Yeah,
an Alex.
No, not Alex.
No, I would love to.
I don't know, Alex. I was wondering what you're doing this week.
Yeah, so anyways, yeah. Memorial Weekend, do you have plans?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I would love to babysit.
Yeah, you would like be, you would love it. We always do a Kim tip. And so today I told her to make her tip for you.
Yeah.
Like, as a mom.
And the only tip that I have that I could think of, and so this probably when he gets a little bit older, is, mm-hmm. Because this happened a lot, where we went to school, I don't know about how they do it here, but we volunteered for everything. So we were on like PTO and the homeroom mom and all this kind of stuff.
Yes.
But you could get so busy doing that that you actually miss out on all the time with your own kid.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't overextend yourself volunteering, and it's so easy to do because you want to say yes and you want to help out and you want to make everything better for the whole class and everything, but it takes away from your kid.
That's a great
advice. I had somebody tell
advice.
Me that when my kids were little. They're like, don't volunteer. Just say no.
Yeah. Or don't over-volunteer.
Don't over-volunteer.
Don't over-volunteer. Yeah. But I mean, some is even hard sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's just times when you really need to be with your kids, and that's the joy of it. Not their whole life and everyone else in the classroom.
That's great advice. That is really good. Because you're right. That is probably coming up on the horizon soon, all that stuff. So,
do you have a tip for moms with little ones?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
or
man.
Alex, for when she has
kids. Yeah, for whenever that.
The tip I take from you is keep the humor in it. I love how I love all the, with everything you've ever done, it seems like.
Yeah, keep a sense of, I would say there's so many, like, I don't want to say like momfluencers, but there's a bunch of like really popular pages about like, if you're not putting your kid to sleep this way, if you're not feeding them this way, if you're whatever. And I think like I got swept up in it at first and was really hard on myself. I was like, oh, man, I'm not following what I'm supposed to be doing. When really it's like I have found that letting go of that stuff and just trusting my instinct. Every baby is so different.
Yeah.
So I guess my advice would be don't be hard on yourself. Just do what feels right for you. And I promise you that's the right thing.
Like, oh, I like that.
You know, like you can read tips and tricks and try things out. But like at the end of the day, just trust yourself because nobody knows your baby like you do.
I was going to ask you this because I wasn't sure if it was even relative to what you do with your comedy. But Alex kind of looked at me like I was weird. But like, are you a thinking person? Because from what you just said there, and I don't mean that weird, like a thinking person or a research person. So someone who researches all the time, it doesn't really think about how it applies to themselves. They're just researching and then they apply it and like not do what you said. Like weigh it and go, well, that didn't work for me, but I can maybe take that and make it work for me where it's what's natural.
Mm-hmm.
Do you kind of do that, excuse me, with everything?
At first I was just blindly doing the research thing and trying it. And then it took me to be like, I am not enjoying this. We are not enjoying this. Like I like trying to keep him on such a strict schedule that he would be like, not like, because it works for some people and that's awesome. But I was like, man, he's like napping at the time he's supposed to, but I'm miserable. Like, we're not doing, like, going out and doing stuff because I'm so obsessed with this schedule. Like, oh, this sucks. And so, yeah, I definitely think that has taught me to be more that way, to, like, do my research, but also, like, kind of look at it with a more quizzical eye instead of just kind of blindly following stuff.
But do you do that with comedy, too?
What do you mean? Sorry.
Well, because, like everything you do is so funny. Like, the other day when you had that on, you were like, your dad's in jail. And it's like, think about that stuff. Like, does it just come naturally to you? Or do you really sort of think about scenarios in life and go, that's funny? Do you really have to think through it? Or does it just come to you naturally?
For the most part, I guess kind of naturally. When it comes to ripping on Brandon Walker, it's like breathing. It's so easy. It just comes right out. But for the most part, when I'm doing blogs, that's where I like put effort in to like come up with jokes and stuff like that. So that I definitely think more of. But when it's like quick little one-liners and stuff like that, one of the favorite ways I like, now that I'm not doing like comedy stuff in the city and blah, 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 that I try and keep myself fresh sometimes is I'll watch a sports game and I'll try and come up with quick little one-liners as I'm watching it that I zip off about, like just puns about their last name. I don't know shit about sports. Just puns about their names or something that just happened or whatever. And like just seeing if I can just still be quick and come up with stupid jokes. And then usually they bomb. But that doesn't matter. I'm still working the old brain and whatever. But yeah, okay, so most part, I just try and wing it. If that's what you were.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Kate.
No, thank you. I was rambling away.
No, yeah, I loved it.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed hearing your story.
Yeah, and a lot of people could probably benefit from that.
Especially your tip. That was a good tip.
Yeah.
A lot of, I think a lot of young moms are really hard on themselves.
But no, anyone going through life changes like that.
Keep the humor.
Keep the humor.
Keep the humor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From driving the UPS truck.
Drive it. Oh,
working the concessions to here.
Yeah.
Well, having this great job and then giving it all in your marriage. That whole thing was just a big road.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It all, like, wouldn't change any. It sounds dorky, but I'm like, in hindsight, wouldn't change it for a thing.
No, but you could have turned into a very bitter person and gone down a whole different road.
Oh, I'm still bitter. No,
I am. No. I wouldn't believe that for a second.
A few glasses of red wine and a cigarette, and you won't even know. No, I'm just kidding. No, very lucky, for sure.
Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, guys. I love it. Thanks.
And with that, that's Kate. We love you. Moms, we love you. Always keep your sense of humor. I hope everybody has a fabulous week, and we will see you next week. And do not forget, like, comment, subscribe, and leave a review, because we want Kim to do her stand-up comedy set. So go review the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Oh, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok.